No one comes to the front door of our home. Everyone comes to our home, goes through the garage, and then there's a garage door that goes into a laundry room. So you walk into this garage door, and to the right, you'll see that there's the washer and dryer. And then there's this little kind of pathway that goes into the kitchen, which then will take you into the rest of the home. So when I come home and I'm walking through this door, this little pathway should be clear. There shouldn't be any obstacles there. There shouldn't be anything that I could trip on or stumble on. But lo and behold, every single time that I come home, there is a congregation of shoes sitting there in between the way of me getting to the kitchen and the rest of the house. Lots of shoes, all different sizes, all different colors, all different shapes. There are cowboy boots, there are Crocs, there are slippers, there, you name it, and they're there. There's my son's wrestling shoes and his rugby shoes. All these shoes are there. I don't know how we've come up with so many shoes. And it's a hazard. It's very difficult to get from the garage door into the rest of the home because you kind of have to maneuver all these shoes that have gathered here in this spot. I only have three pairs of shoes. I have my gym shoes, I have my dress shoes, and I have this pair of kind of sandal shoes I wear all the time. I properly put them away in the right closet every time. I don't create hazards for the rest of my family to have to worry about at all. It's a huge issue. The other day I came home, it was late at night, it was dark, and I opened the garage door to go into the laundry room to make my way into the rest of the house. Now, I knew that this hazard is there, okay? It's not like it goes away, it's just constantly there. And so, in the dark, because I can't get to the light switch, I'm taking one of my feet and I'm kind of swishing the other shoes away to make a path so I don't stumble and fall. But I missed one. It was one of my son's steel-toed work boots, and I tripped over it and stumbled and almost took out my front teeth. What an ordeal! Well, this is what our Lord says. It is impossible to avoid obstacles that will cause you to stumble. Now, of course, he's not talking about shoes, but like shoes, sin can congregate around us. Sin is something that pops up from here, pops up from there, comes all directions from. If you think that you can avoid sin or even avoid the sin of other people, you're very mistaken. You see, because of the fallen world in which we live in, we have to deal with sin. It is there. And so all these things, all these obstacles, all these stumbling blocks that sin bring about, it is difficult and almost impossible to avoid all these things. Well, the stumbling block, for example, of a piece of fruit hanging on a tree that God says, do not eat of it. The stumbling block of a woman who is bathing in the middle of the day and this man sees her and it's not his wife, but it's a stumbling block for him. Taking gold and turning it into a calf that you worship is a stumbling block, or 30 pieces of silver can be a stumbling block. There are lots of different stumbling blocks. There are lots of different things that cause us to fall into sin. Some of those things we choose to do willingly on our own. Others, it just kind of happens. However it may be, though, you cannot avoid the stumbling blocks and the obstacles that sin bring. Jesus says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. So we are to forgive those who are repentant of the things in which they have done. When there is repentance, there should be forgiveness. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not so easy. In fact, Jesus says, you know, seven times. We could almost translate it this way. Instead of seven times, multiple times a day. When someone multiple times a day sins and then comes to you and confesses this and repents of it multiple times, you are to say you are forgiven. but it is difficult to do. Forgiveness is not an easy thing for all kinds of reasons. Maybe we want vengeance. Maybe we want them to feel the way we felt when they sinned against us. Maybe we want revenge. Maybe we want to make sure that they endure some consequences for what they have done. Lots of reasons why we may withhold forgiveness, or it might be difficult to forgive. But Jesus says, forgive. I was asked to work with a pastor and a principal who had been in this feud, this conflict, for a very long period of time. And as is my process, I met with them individually first, heard their stories, and then coached and encouraged and guided them to identify how they had sinned against the other party so that they could confess it, repent of it, and forgiveness could be spoken to them. And then once you go through that process, then I get them together for a mediation. So principal and the pastor get together. I'm there mediating this conversation between the two of them. The principal does a very nice job of confessing his sin. He was very specific about the sins that he had committed against the pastor, and he was had contrition about it, and he had repented of this. And when he got done confessing his sins, I turned to the pastor and I said, "Pastor, is there anything you'd like to say to principal?" And he said, "No, I'm good." So I tried another stab at it and I said, "Well, Pastor, is there anything at all that you would like to say to the principal?" And he shrugged his shoulders and said, "No, I said I'm good." And then I tried using, I think, an underused counseling technique, silence. And I just sat there for a moment and looked at him, tried not to stare him down, but trying to give him another chance to be able to say something. And he didn't. So I thought, well, I'll try one more way of doing this. So I said, "Pastor, your principal just confessed sins that he has committed against you. He is repentant of these sins. As his pastor, do you have anything that you would like to say to him?" Well, he kind of sat up really straight in the chair, puffed up his chest, and he said, "Well, I guess I do. You know, it's a good thing that you finally admit that you are a sinner, because after all, you have sinned a lot, and you have sinned against me, you've sinned against my family," and he went on and on and on. He vomited all kinds of words out. He was confessing sins that the principal himself hadn't even confessed about himself, and all this vomiting of words came out of his mouth. But you know, not one, not even one of those words was a word of forgiveness. Not a one. You see, I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks is unforgiveness. It's when we refuse to forgive someone who is repentant and who has confessed. And this pastor was in that category. So when Jesus says it's impossible to avoid obstacles that will cause you to stumble, he then goes on and says this, "But woe," or I would be okay with even saying "cursed be," but we'll stick with "woe." "But woe, woe to that person through whom these stumbling blocks, these obstacles come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck for than him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves." Even the disciples, it's interesting, when Jesus tells them the importance of forgiveness, you almost get the impression that they find that it's difficult for themselves to do this forgiving thing. Add to our faith, increase our faith. But you see, it's not about your strength. It's not about your ability. It's not about your power to be able to forgive. It is about the strength and the promises of God. Those promises that are fulfilled in Christ. that you forgive a repentant person. Do not be that stumbling block. You see, the pastor was a stumbling block. He was a stumbling block, and he got in the way of this person who had confessed and wanted to receive forgiveness, and the pastor refused to do it. He became the stumbling block, you see. And sometimes we may end up in that situation where we just don't want to forgive or we refuse to forgive, and then we become the stumbling block. But do not be the stumbling block that refuses to forgive a repentant person of their sins. If you are, if you become that person, we should wrap weights around you and throw you into the fountain in front of the library and all stand around and watch you die a miserable death. No, instead, you speak forgiveness. You speak it clearly and you speak it often. And you assure the repentant sinner that their sins are forgiven by the rock of their salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen.